the Sheen gig going on at the Jasper's house, and they had food, and I dropped the youngest off, and they're like, I start smelling this. And Jasper, you sure you want to leave? No, I want to leave, but I'm glad to be here. They are having fun up there with the young people. Good to be here, and I missed it. Talk afterwards. I missed that. Y'all doing all right?
Good.
I'm hoping that you all have your books. I want to go over it a little bit as we get started. There will be trying to think here. I don't know about you. Sometimes when I grab books, I kind of tendency to skip over the preface. But in this particular book, I pray that we don't skip over the preface. That you would read and do the reflections on the preface. All right? But by next week, I want us to have had worked through the preface and even unto chapter 1. That's about 17 or 16 pages. Chapter 1 is really not as long. It's an easy read. Not a laborious reading, but it's an easy read. Want you to kind of work through them. And again, this is all self-paced, so every week I want you to bring your answers to the class, to the Bible study, because we want to share in this also, this is always hard because oftentimes some people are not here, and what I want to try to do is, if you could consistently, when you're coming from now on, sit where you're going to sit. Some of us always sit where we sit anyway, but for those who switch it around, we want you to find a seat and be consistent with it, because I want that group to form a group. So where you're sitting at, so next week I don't want any empty tables. So next week will serve as the beginning of wherever you sit, freely now. But next week is free too. But after next week, I'm going to kind of get a sense in which where you all kind of sit where you're going to sit so you can have interactions. It's kind of hard to have interactions with, you got new people every week. And, you know, that intimacy, that sharing, seems to don't get, a lot out of it. So we want to make sure we share. Again, I'm not telling you, tell us everything. Don't write down everything, but do some reflection. Don't just do surface. Do some reflection so we can investigate into the book. So again, preface, reading that, and it's self-explanatory. Are you certain you are a child of God, that He has forgiven your sins? If not, stop right now and settle a matter with the Lord. And so the preface is really not something that you have to write down. It's really more an intro perspective. After chapter 1, there are a couple of questions that you're going to have to wrestle with. Now, what's going to happen in addition to that is when you come to class, I'm going to have more questions. So in addition to what you write down, I'm going to expound on some more questions to create dialogue, to create more interactions, to help us to deal a little deeper. All right? So, again, chapter 1, preface, and all the way up to chapter 1 in your book, and wrestle with it a little bit. And so next week, bring your answers. Any questions anybody has?
Some of us don't have our book.
Fran had books.
I
This may be somebody's book because I just grabbed it. So here's one of them over here. I don't know whose book I grabbed, but I just grabbed the book. But again, we still can get some more. $9.97 is the cost of the book. But we want to make sure that everyone has one. We want to be able to be working with, I have a talk with Sister Marie, because what we want to do is to make sure that we record our sessions so that if people missed it, they can go to the website and listen and to get to the dialogue so they won't miss three and four times and then it's like, oh man, I'm so behind. But no, you can catch up on the website. So we want to make sure that we have that there, make sure me and Fran, make sure that we have, even if the device is not here, that the phone is set up, that we're recording. But the only difficulty that I'm going to have to work with is Cecilia used to pull it off of the website, off of the recording site, and put it on our website. And I don't know if she has, well, I know she had trained me on how to do that. So I don't know if there's anybody that knows how to do that. Please feel free to let me know. So there's two ways that we can record this to make sure that we have it on the website. And again, so next week, read the preface or the preface, and then chapter one. All right? Yes, Grace. You got the same question? Okay, all right. Yeah. All right. Y'all all right? All right. What did we talk about last week? What did we talk about last week?
Talked a little bit about praise. We talked a little bit about praise.
A little bit about praise, right?
Why people don't praise.
Yeah. Talked about praise. What do we talk about with praise?
Some people don't praise out loud.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Then we went through some verses.
Yeah, what were the verse we went through?
There's a bunch. There's I should have wrote it down. I know one talked about how we went through the story of, what's the name of David?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anybody walk around out, what verse was it?
I'm not mistaken. Psalms
34. Psalms 34, 1 through 3. I will what? Bless the Lord at what? His praise shall what?
Continually be.
Beware.
Now.
In my hands.
My mouth.
In my feet.
No. In my mouth.
In my mind.
In my mouth.
Oh, in your mouth. Alright? So if they're in your mouth, then what are they ought to be doing? Sitting in your mouth?
No.
No, they ought to be what?
Coming
out of your mouth. Alright? Yeah, and so, and then he says, the humble shall hear thereof, and what? Be glad. Alright? Again, he says, another Psalmist 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? A joyful noise. Now, he calls it noise. He doesn't say a sound. He said a joyful noise unto the Lord. He says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. All right? Do you all know what the gates mean versus the courts? Anybody know the difference between the gates and the courts? Yeah, the gate is the outer, of the, and then of the tabernacle, and then the courts are the inside, right? So he says, so help me understand that, somebody, enter his gates with thanksgiving, but enter his courts with praise. So how do we understand that? Yes. Absolutely. You're in the presence of God, right? But it says start with thanksgiving, right? Yeah. it's almost like the emphasis is almost as if you can't thank him at the gate. Y'all gotta go with me tonight. But he's saying, enter his gate with what? Thanksgiving. So it's almost saying, at his gate, get in the mindset of being thankful. Right? So even if I'm thankful, guess what? It's not praise.
That's right.
Come on, come on. Y'all gotta understand, I can be thankful and still not praise him. Right?
Amen.
So he says, enter my gate with thanksgiving. That's the beginning. Being thankful. But he says, as you continue to what?
Press in,
it turns to
praise.
And again, we talked about last week, praise is to speak well of. Speak well of, we know who the praise go to who?
God.
All right? Amen. We're going to God. All right? And so now, I want to build a little bit on that and talk about the difference between praise and worship. There is a difference.
Amen.
And I know that we say, well, praise is, you know, to be thankful for what God has done, or I'm praising God for what he has done. And worship is praising him for what? Who he is, right? But I'm going to go a little further and say that worship goes beyond just worshiping for who he is. Worship has a bigger component than just praising the Lord for who he is. It's more, and we're going to get into that tonight. But before I get into that, again, I want to build on the praise. Now, remember we read Luke 30, Luke, what was our verse? Luke 17. I might turn to that real quick. I think that's Luke.
A bunch of praises.
I'm trying to remember that one that Stephen gave us. A young man says, if we don't praise him, the rocks are going to what?
Cry out.
He's with Reverend Jasper. The whole crew, they with Reverend Jasper. But you all know the verse, right?
Yeah.
Right? That he said, if you don't praise me, the rocks will what?
Cry
out, right? But since I said Luke 17, I think this is what Jesus wanted me to do, because I was on Luke 17 earlier, or not 17 in particular, but this particular passage. So turn to Luke 17, verse 11 through 21. All right. Y'all ready? All right. It says, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. They raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. All right? Now, what do you all think that is? Is that praise? Is that thankfulness? Or is that a request?
A request.
Seems to be a request, right? So then he says, when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see that?
Yes.
Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with what?
A loud voice.
A quiet voice.
Nope.
They were silent.
Nope. No.
Loud voice.
He was whispering.
Loud voice.
It was a loud voice, right? No. All right. Then it said, and he fell at his face, and at his feet giving what?
Thanks to who?
To him, right? Then he said, and he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered and said, were there not
ten,
right? But the nine, where are
They,
right? And he said to him, stand up, go. Your faith has made you whole. Now, what's wrong with this text?
Only one came back.
Only one showed faith, right? But let me ask, how many got healed?
Lord.
Ten.
All right. Now, what can we learn right off that, right there? Yeah, that there are 10 people who gets healed, right? But one goes back to say thank you. So what are the other 9 saying?
Nothing.
What do you think the other 9 said when they got home?
Probably nothing.
Or I'm healed. We think they got to the priest. Oh, look at Jesus, he's healed. You think they thank God then?
No.
No, that this man made up his what? Mind to do what? He could have followed the other 9. He was already following.
Right?
Says, I could be like them and keep going. Right? But what did he say?
Turn back.
No. Right? I'm going to make up my mind, regardless of what they do, I'm going to do what? So my question is now let's this is amazing. Jesus said, they said, have mercy on us, right? Mm-hmm. He says, go show yourself to the priest. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like he responded to them, does it? That doesn't make sense, does it? Alright? What's wrong with that picture? I promise I'm not going to preach. I want you so bad, but I'm not going to. I'm holding my mirror for a week and have some interaction and dialogue. Yes, sir.
They may have been originally beforehand, in order for them to be cleansed, they had to go to the priest first.
Yeah.
So Jesus was showing them that he didn't need them.
He didn't need what?
The priest.
He didn't need the priest to heal them.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right? So Jesus shows power, right? But no, notice they would what? Get cleansed,
right.
Then go.
Right. On the way.
So on the way, right? So how does that help us?
First of all, you've got to have faith.
And how is faith being exercised here? That's good.
They were already, I mean, they had not been cleansed.
Yes.
Jesus told them to go. Show themselves. So they had faith enough in Jesus to go and do what he said, and on the way.
Sure. Right, so now, as they're going, right?
Yeah.
Now, here is faith in action.
Right.
Now, you would think that they would go to the priest once they're healed.
Right.
All he said was go to the show yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, as they're going, they're getting healed.
Right.
10%, mm-hmm. 20%, mm-hmm. 30%, right? So as they're going, now these jokers, 9 of them, said, I'm not healed yet, I got to keep moving, because I don't thank him yet, because he ain't done it yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going somewhere with this. So I'm walking, and God ain't really done it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to the doctor, I'm still going to the hospital, I'm still having pain, I'm still being agonized, so I'm still going. But the man, what messes me up, he stops in the middle of the process. He stops in the middle of the process to say what?
Thank
you for what?
For healing.
For healing him, right? How do you know it says thank you for healing him? It's good, that's good. What is he doing? Yeah, at least 10%, right? 15%. We don't know if he got 100 ways away and then got healed, but it almost as if he didn't get too far away.
No, but what he could see.
What he could see, right?
Right, that's right.
So which means then, do I gotta wait to get it full to thank him?
No.
See, God ain't got to do it all for me to thank him. He can do just some of it. Right? Okay, and so as he does it, guess what he does? Here's what he does, Wes. He says 10% 100 because he said it. So let me stop and thank him, right? Because I'm going to go to 90 because he already told me to go show the priest. I don't need to go show the priest if I ain't healed.
No ring.
Y'all get it? So some of us are waiting to show faith and wait to get healed. Mm-hmm. So some of us masquerade faith and ain't really faith because as long as you got evidence, it ain't faith.
Glory.
So some of us wait for the 10% to 10%. Okay, I can cover that. 20%. Oh, I got that now. I can cover it. 30%. No, baby. You got to start out without no evidence.
Thank you, Lord.
Right?
Yes.
But he also saying that Jesus is, could be saying that this man is taking a risk. Because he doesn't know if he starts and turns that it's going to continue if he keeps going. But he said, 10% is enough for me to go back. I may not have the cattle on a thousand hills, but I got to lure me out. I may not have the bins, but I got a bucket. I may not have the split level, but I got a efficiency.
Amen.
And some of us wait till we get this grandiose thing before we give God praise.
Glory.
But I'm here to tell you that God is waiting on you, not you waiting on him.
Amen. Amen.
That this man said, regardless of what the flow says. So let's put this in Mount Olive. Now you in Mount Olive, right? And these 10 lepers get healed. Right? And the 9 are sitting there. They walking.
Yeah.
But the one said, oh no. I got to come out of here. What? Give him what? Even if it got to be. By my what? Oh my God. Come on, y'all. If it's by myself, guess what? I will shut this place down. And then what he's saying?
Yeah.
He says, Jesus is so awesome that he gave me a little bit and the one, I can't pass my moment. Because by the time I get there, he may not be in the same place that I get back.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so I gotta take my moment now.
Yeah.
That is my question, Mount Olive. When do you take your moment?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe your moment is when the choir is on. Maybe your moment is when they're singing well and the deacon is praying right, the preacher preaching right. Okay, now it makes sense. But here's what I'm going to say. I want to know, are there any radical folk? Are there any remnant inside Mount Olive that are not willing to go with the norm, but are willing to break the norm and cause a disturbance? I come to be silent today. I come on the mountain be praying today. Because this man stops all the flow. And he said, I got to give what? Thanks, number one, right? But what does he do, Martha?
Lord.
Falls on his what?
Faith.
And does what?
Lord.
Worship.
Yeah.
Glory to God. So you really can't have true worship if you ain't started with. All right. So he says, thank me. But. Sometimes, okay, God heals me when I'm obedient. Maybe you ain't getting healed, it's because you ain't been obedient. Maybe you ain't take all the pills that the doctor told you to. And so you sit here saying, God, why didn't you heal me? God said, I healed you when I gave you medication. But did you take it?
No.
No, I feel better halfway through, so I don't need these pills anymore. I ain't got to take it. But the Bible says, take every last one of them.
Yes.
But some of us are not obedient. And some of us masquerade obedience by going short to the priest. I mean, not all of them. Hallelujah. And some of them are some ungrateful, unthankful people. I guarantee you, my brother, that they showed up at the priest. Hey, Jesus told me he's healed me. Oh, yeah, that's exciting. But did you thank him? I bet you they told the priest to thank you when the priest gave him okay going home that you've been healed, you've been cleansed. I guarantee they said, thank you, priest. But Jesus is here. Some of us thank our God this morning. We thank God. Let me help you. All the doctor did, which is the priest, he just what? Reviewed what Jesus had already done. He ain't done nothing. Let me help you. Doctors don't heal you. If anybody thought that doctors heal you, you have been fooled. You have drunk the Kool-Aid. And I'm here to remind you, doctors don't heal you. They work on you, they prescribe, they analyze, and they what? They work on you, they open you up, sew you back up, but who's doing healing? So you can be thanking the doctor all you want more than you do God. The devil is a liar.
Amen.
I'm thankful to the doctors, but I dare you.
The Lord gave you
thank God. Yes. Yeah, and I got a call last week, Mr. Cole. Yeah, you stirred us up last week, and I don't agree. I don't agree with some of the things you say. I mean, if I don't praise the Lord like you, then I should be all right. Because I don't praise the Lord like you. I said, well, then you missed my whole message. Because my whole message wasn't to praise the Lord like me. I said you ought to do something. So I said, now let me ask you a question. Do you like football? Yeah. Have you been to a football game? Have you cheered for your team? Have you cheered for your child? So don't, when you go to the games next time, make sure you shut your mouth up. Don't like that, right? But when you put it in perspective, I'm saying you got to do something. Then it's a response to what God has done. How dare you, sister singer, me bless you, which you've been waiting for, and you don't say thank you? Are you kidding me? Man, can you imagine I'm on the side of the road, me, dad, and I don't have no money at all, and all of a sudden, Deacon Young comes, I don't even know him, he comes out of the woodwork and says, my brother, you need any help? Yeah, man, I need some gas, man, out of gas. He's going to go take you to, and now I can't tell him I ain't got no money. All I got to say is, you know, we got pride, you know, I done ran out of gas. So Deacon, but I don't know if God has already planned for Deacon to pay for my gas. So I get to the store and get to the gas station, and I'm like, looking funny now because I got to now show myself. Oh, yeah, why my card ain't working, mother? Oh, man, he just got to go, you got to go about your card. I'm going to put on your card. God already told me to buy your gas. So let's fill this gas tank up, and we're going to drive back to your car, right? That right there is enough for me to buy, right? But what will blow me over the top is the fact that Jesus said, now get in your car, let's go back to the same gas station, and I'm going to fill it all the way up. And maybe that's where some of us are. We need God to take us back to the gas station, fill our car all the way up before we give a praise. Because $5 ain't going to get us back to home. We're going to run out of gas again. So God, you ain't been good. So unless you fill my tank, I'm going to shut my mouth. I ain't going to say a word. The devil is alive in Mount Olive. You better not wait till he fills you up. You better take praise on that $5. Glory be to God. The devil is a liar. All right. He praised him, right? Now turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, real quickly. 2 Peter. I don't know about y'all. I don't know what y'all on right before Christmas. Don't think I ain't coming here fired. I'm going to come and fire up tonight. First Peter, I'm sorry.
You say first?
First Peter. Somebody can read that for me. Verse number 9.
What chapter?
What chapter?
First Peter. I'm sorry. First Peter chapter two. When I read this again, because I didn't see it the way, I didn't see it as clearly as he brought out profoundly. But it's like when he's going, I'm like, oh my God, woo! Now again, verse number 9. You got verse number 9 yet? Yeah. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. All right. First chapter 2, verse 9. He says, but you are what?
Chosen
what? A what?
A
what?
A
holy
nation.
A
peculiar people.
Belonging to God, right?
Yeah.
So that you may what?
Proclaim the excellencies
of
Him.
So you must what?
Proclaim.
All right. Some say declare. Some say declaim. Doesn't say what? We're supposed to declare and proclaim.
The excellencies.
But also what?
The praises.
Of what?
Of him.
Who what?
Darkness.
Does it say praise him for the home?
No.
How about the house?
No.
How about the 2.5 of the kids?
No.
How about the great job?
No.
The corner office?
No.
The excellent salary?
No.
What is the praise for?
For him
who done what?
Darkness.
From God what?
Darkness.
And into the what? Light. So it's nothing tangible, is it?
Yeah.
He says, if you don't have nothing else to praise him, right? Here's something, because he what? Took your raging behind out of darkness and then what? Into the light.
Marvelous life.
All right, now let me help you. It says, you are number one what?
Chosen.
We stop right there. Chosen, right? You go to Ephesians, when were we chosen, Bible? Before the what?
Foundation
of the world. So before you got here, you've been what?
Chosen.
All right? I ain't going all the way deep with that, but God chose you even when there was no good in you to choose you.
That's right.
Right? You got that, right? Number two, he told them, what was number two? He got you a what?
Royal, right?
Royal. You may be broken the joke, but you consider to be
royal.
He doesn't help people who poor. He doesn't help people who from paycheck to paycheck and think you ain't got enough. The Bible says that you are royal.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. That means I'm something. Yeah. I may not have it externally, but I got it on the inside.
Amen.
Mr. Cole, why do you act like you are that? Because do you know who I am? Well, that's kind of arrogant. No, that ain't arrogant. Well, that means that's God's focus. God's word told me that's what I am. And so God's word told me that's what I am. That's what I am.
Amen.
So I am royalty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I can handle any. Most of my friends were intimidated by women that make a lot of money. I wasn't intimidated by the women that make a lot of money. Line them up. I ain't intimidated. Line them up. I got plenty of money. Where your money at? In the word, it ain't he yet. It's on its way. Ain't going to rainbow, Take it till you make it, right? But I was letting know, royal, right? He said royalty, and then you ain't what? Holy. So he said, number one, you've been chosen. Number two, you're royal. But number three, he said, just because you're chosen, just because you're royal, don't mean you can't be holy. Let me help some people who love to praise the Lord and your life brandy. You ain't obedient at all. You sin every time. You cuss everybody out. You act all a fool. And you want to come in church and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm reminded, James said, clean the tongue. What? Yeah. Blessings and what? Conscience come out of what? The same house. So you may be fooling us, but you ain't fooling God. Right? So he said, you are holy. So we ought to be holy, right?
Yeah.
But look what he said. All this stuff was to do what?
For him,
right?
For him, yeah.
But look what he says.
To proclaim.
You've been done all this to be saved? To live in heaven?
No.
You've been royal. You've been chosen. You've been a holy nation. To what? Live in heaven?
No, that you should show forth the praises of him.
To have heaven on earth?
No.
No. Well,
you've been chosen and royal to do what?
To praise him.
Hold on, to do what?
Praise him.
Hold up. I thought you had a choice.
Not when you're chosen.
I thought you had a choice coming to here. Right?
Well, yes.
He said, if you don't have anything, you've been chosen to praise me. Glory to God. Before you got here, the reason you are here is to worship and praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, y'all. So he said, if that is who you are, then why are you not coming out? So guess what? That's why the song said, praise is what I do. Right? Uh-huh. Praise what?
Who I am.
Yeah, that's me trying my soprano voice. See, I can really sing in tenor. That's what I really should be singing. But praise is who I
am.
See, here's why it means you can't just say praise is what I do. This verse says praise is who I am because I've been created to do this.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yet you use your mouth for everything else. But what?
Praise.
Y'all got it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Praise. How much time I got? That ain't my topic tonight.
You have 40 minutes.
How much?
40.
40. Good. My focus tonight is worship. Everybody can praise, but not everybody can worship. So I got this book. I want to read some things to you all as we jump into this. I'm so mad we got our book so soon. No, I really mean that because I really want to spend some time with this praise worship. I really want to spend some time with this worship thing. All right, now there's a great book. It's called The Celebration of Disciplines. By Richard Foster, a profound book. If you are heavy and want to know about fasting, prayer, any of the spiritual disciplines, this book is profound. It's called The Celebration of Discipline. All right? And it's profound. All right? But he want to focus on the discipline of worship. And here's what we want to talk about a little bit. Right? He says this. To worship is experience reality. To touch life. It is to know and to feel, to experience the resurrected Christ in the midst of a gathering of community. Right? He says, God is actively seeking worshipers. We'll get into that in a minute. Says Scripture gives us examples of God's effort in initiating and restoring and maintaining fellowship with his children to usher them into worship. Right? He says this, worship is our response to the love of overtones of overtures of love from the heart of the Father. And the central reality is found in spirit and in truth. So what he means, he says, it's only when the Holy Spirit touches our human spirit where we can be ushered into worship. All right? He says this. He says, we can use all the right techniques, all the right forms, all the right methods. We can have the best liturgy, but we have not worshiped the Lord until the Spirit has touched our spirit. Wow. He says, you can have a celebratory service. Everybody high. He said, everybody got going. He said, but if the Spirit doesn't touch your spirit. He said, all you did was went through the motions. You didn't experience worship. I've been to a lot of services like that, that we have masqueraded and called it worship, and I realized it wasn't worship. I ain't touching, I'm staying right there, all right? Then he says this. The words of the chorus says, set my spirit free that I may worship thee. It reveals the basis of worship. He said, until God touches and frees our spirit, we cannot enter this realm. Singing, praying, praising, all may lead to worship, but worship is more than any of them. Our spirit must be ignited by a form of fire. So turn to John chapter 4, and let's dive into this. So, as you are turning to John chapter 4, here's what he says. Jesus answers for all the time of whom we are to worship. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So in John chapter 4, starting at, and you all know this passage very well. Starting at verse 7. Look what he said. Here's what the book says. The one true God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God whom Jesus Christ revealed. God made clear his hatred for idolatries by placing an incisive command to start this Decalogue. Is what he said. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. That's what God. I'm in the book. I'm not in John. I'm reading from the book. I'm sorry, read from the book. Y'all was like, what Bible you at there? Where you at? What kind of Bible you out of there? What's in the book? I'm sorry, y'all. I'm in the book. He says, the Lord says, and Exodus in the law, you shall have no other gods before me. Right? He goes on to say, W.A. Tozer says, the essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of him. He says, some of us masquerade worship with idolatry. He says, true idolatry is for you to have entertaining thoughts about God that are unworthy of him. So, if God's so good, then why not family the way it is? He said, you can't worship him with those kind of thoughts. He said, they are idolatry. God take one step, you take one step, God takes two. He said, that's not true. That's idolatry. He said, if all you do is embrace the love of God without the wrath of God, he said, you are an idolater. You can't embrace just one side of God. You got to embrace it all. Glory be to God. And there are a whole lot of people in your circle that talk about God's love. But they don't never talk about God's wrath. You got a lot of Christians in here that don't like to talk about God's wrath. All you want to know is God's a loving God, and he loves us. He don't mind we sin. He don't mind we make mistakes. He wants us to just be like we are. We are good on our way to heaven. That's a liar from the pit of hell. God accepts you that way, but God does not tolerate you that way. Because God wants you to change.
Exactly.
Not stay the same.
Amen.
Do we make mistakes? Yes. But that was called contact out the heart. Repent.
Right.
Repent means to turn from.
Right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into the text before I get into this book. Because this book will blow our mind. Because what I thought worship was, my brother, after I read this, it really made me convicted. Lord have mercy. Mm-hmm. All right, John chapter 4. Let me get in here. I feel like preaching tonight. Woman at the well, chapter 7, verse 7. Let me tell you, if you only see the woman and Jesus and not see worship, you missed it. This is about worship. The backdrop sets up the water, the well, and the woman is only caveat to the point of where Jesus is going. Because after the dialogue, he goes and says, where you worship at? Jesus, that ain't got nothing to do with it. The woman who's thirsty. So we're going to delve into it. Let's take it verse by verse. Amen.
Amen.
There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Y'all see that? Is yours in italics?
Yeah.
That means it's not in the original. Right? Verse number 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is asking you, give me a drink, you would have asked him when what you and he would have given you living water. Right? She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And where you do, when do you get that living water? Alright? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank of himself and his sons and his cattle. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will come up on the inside and well up as water springing into what? Eternal life, right? Then the woman said to her, sir, give me this water so I may not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw. He said to her, go call your husband and come here. All right? Does that make sense? Go get your boo, baby. Bring your boo back here, baby. Look what she said. The woman answered and said, I have no boo. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, you have no boo, for you got five boos. And then the one you with now, he ain't your boo either. So you think about claiming him, but he ain't claiming you. All right? Then the truly woman said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you people say that Jerusalem is the place where they worship, right? Then Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming, and neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem where you will worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, where we worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father, in spirit and in truth, for such a speak, people, Father is seeking to be his worshiper. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. So then the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, and he's called the Christ. When he comes, he will declare all these things up. Jesus said to her, I am the one you're seeking about. And at this point, the disciples came back. They were amazed and began to talk. Why are you talking to this woman? What does she want with her? Well, what does she want and what does she want with her? And then say, so the woman left her water pot, went into the city and said, come see a man who told me all the things I've done. This is not the Christ. And they went out of the city and they all were coming to Jesus. Here is Jesus says, I must go through Samaria. He didn't say, I got to accidentally go. I must go. Mm-hmm. Right? So Jesus is at the well before the woman's there. Did you notice that? So she on her way there. Right? So as she on her way there, Jesus sends the disciples, hey, man, y'all go to the next city and get some food. They go. So now Jesus by himself sitting and waiting. The well. Sitting on the well. Waiting. Let me walk around and say that again. The well is sitting on a well.
Yeah.
Waiting for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here she comes. He says, sister, give me some water. Sir, you being a Jew, what you talking to me for? Jews don't have nothing to do with no Samaritan dude. Maybe you so mean they come around these parts. We don't do this. We don't talk to people like you. You don't talk to us, number one. Number two, you're a man. You ain't supposed to talk to no woman. That's interesting, her saying that, because she used to men talking to her.
Right.
Matter of fact, five of them. Some kind of concern why she would say that when she used to men talking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I could go a lot with that, but I'm staying right here in my room. So here she is. She says, well, give me some water. He said, if you knew who was asking you this, you would ask me to give you some water. So she said, I'll give you living water. She said, well, you don't have nothing to draw with it. Let's go, where you going with this? Worship, true worship, is birthed out of intimacy. True worship is birthed out of intimacy. If you stay at surface level, you would always be a praiser, but you would never be a worshiper. If you stay shallow in your walk with God, you'll never enter this next realm of what is called true worship. But I believe that there was a whole lot of women in this room that were women at the well before. And here it is, Jesus knows her stuff and yet takes the time to talk to a woman. He knows her issues.
Right.
And yet he talks. But Bob, I think sometimes we think our issues is what blocks us from getting into the realm of intimacy. But what Jesus knows is that it's your issues is not what blocks you. It's your mindset about your issues is what blocks you from intimacy. So here now he's talking to this woman. He said, bring me something to draw with. Jesus went spiritual. She stayed flesh. Give me something to draw with. He said, living water. She didn't make a connection. So Jesus is trying to break the layers to open her up to intimacy and what it really means to really be a worshiper of God. Because the Father has been seeking you, woman. He's been seeing you every day coming to this way. And I come straight from heaven for you. To usher you in to intimacy. This woman said, Jesus said, a crazy question, Sister Peggy. Now, let's be real. Can I be real for a minute? You know, here I am at the well. And I say, bring me some water. She say, dude, you know what I'm talking about. Don't worry about that, babe. Just bring me some water. If you knew who I was, let me give you my Mac Daddy Bob. If you knew who I was asking this, baby, you would give me that water. But you'd be asking me to give some of my water. Her mind, my dude, you kidding me? Give me something to draw your water with, dude. She went right back to the well again. Right? Jesus says, well, did you know this? You drink from this well, you're going to thirst again. But the water I give you, you're now thirst again. So she said, well, give me this water that you talk so good about, right? So Jesus said, well, before I give it to you, let me deal with your stock. Go get your husband. Now, here we are, we dialoguing right now. Now, I'm a Jew now, you know, but you don't know me. You don't know if I'm a pimp or a Mac Daddy. You know that. All you know is I'm talking to you about the well of the water, right? You think, and so, hey, I say to you, go get your husband. I mean, are you really going now to divulge all this information to me that you ain't got no, I ain't got no husband? What would normally happen?
No.
Man, you don't get out of my face talking this trash to me. You don't know me. You don't get up out of here. Right? Where you come from? Who are you? Here's what I'm saying to you. God will never force intimacy. He will never force you in intimacy. And I don't care if you're talking about how much hell you're going through and how many problems in your life. That ain't what God is using to force you. God always offers an invitation. Here's your moment, lady. Go get your husband. She can say, you know, I ain't tripping, and hold it in. But she says, You know what?
I had no husband.
Right. That Jesus, she recognized something about this guy that he asked a penetrating question. He didn't say, go get any man. He said, go get your husband. She said, I'm having, which means if you don't open it up, intimacy will never happen. She was willing. Jesus opened up with a question. She had to say, so she said, you said right. The five you with ain't your husband either. And the one you with now. You, which means you don't got rid of five dudes. You know how bad this shit got to be that went through five men? Do you know how many stars, how many layers are in this woman who's been ravished and taken advantage of and abused? Because we got to take the fact that Jews could divorce you over anything. So can you imagine her self-esteem? Can you imagine her self-worth? Can you imagine her self-value? And Jesus said, don't get your husband. And she said, I brought quite a tear in her eyes. I only have one. She said, you said right. The five of them ain't yours, and the one you with now. I see that you are a prophet because you're able to tell myself. She said, I understand you know a little bit about me, but dude, before I can trust you, I got to go a little deeper with you. And some of us are right there. We stay on the surface, and when God is trying to invite us into intimacy with a deeper form of worship, and we stay on the surface now. And here's what I call it. We get dressed up for God, but get naked for the devil. Because some of us get intimacy with people that don't deserve it. And yet, she's naked, Denala. She's exposing herself to five dudes that don't even care. And she said, and Jesus now said, baby, this water break to you. She said, she drops her thing and leaves. Right? Now, let me put in the paradox. These five men have now called this woman, right, to only what they want from her is what they can get. They care less about her and her intimacy and her walk with the Lord. All they're doing is all about me. They get me. That she's getting water and nobody else, right? Five men taking from her, leading her to pleading after relationship after relationship after relationship. I'm going to trust the fourth one. Maybe he's going to be my resurrection. Maybe he's going to outdo all the other four. But this one, you know what he do? He leaves the two. And here she is. Now she got a man on the side, who we call it. I ain't getting married no more. I'll just cheat on the side. And here Jesus. And here she leaves Jesus and says, which blows my mind, she says, come see a man that told me all about myself. Why did she say man? See, come here, men. You fake Samaritans been praying and thinking that you a real man. You ain't a real man because every time I left you, I was still thirsty. But I read a real man who didn't want to take from me, but wanted to add to me. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to add to you. He don't want to take from you. That's what you're interested in, that God is pulling her. Now, here's what's interesting, that men taking and leaving their hands, right, and leaving her depleted, her soul, her longing was to worship God, but she couldn't because she got all these layers. And some of you all got a bunch of layers. Bunch of layers. Jesus can't get intimate with you because you got a bunch of layers. It's too scary, Jesus. It hurts too much. I remember I asked my mother, I said, Mom, why you won't walk in the purpose of God? She said, son, it hurts too much because I got to deal with my past. And I'm sitting there saying, at 25, saying, Mom, are you serious? She said, son, it's too much. Don't ask me about that. And I look at my mother and I say, there's so much potential. But what she was saying to me, Jesus wants intimacy, but I got too many layers to give it to him. So I can't really experience what true worship and freedom is. So here this woman, she says to these men, come on, see a man. Because you all laid hands on me and I left you thirsty. But here's a man who didn't even lay his hands on me, but when I left him, I was satisfied. God is throwing a lifeline and he's willing, but you got to open the layers. Monarch, you got to open the layers. You got to lay open it. He already sees it. He knows the layers. He knows what they did to you. He knows who abused you. He knows who hurt you. But he said, I'm still inviting you. Come on in and worship. And she says, you're a prophet, but are you greater than our fathers? Because we come to the mountain to worship. But you Jews tell us that it's Jerusalem. Her issue was she wanted to find worship, but she was going about it the wrong way. And I know some of you all have written off the woman at the well because you ain't got a whole bunch of adulterous relationships. But I promise you, you got some issues. And this ain't about gender. A lot of us men are women at the well. Got these layers, these issues that we don't want, and we call it emasculated in machoism. Men, real men don't get like this. Real men don't cry. Real men, we deal with the devil's a lie. You got to get issues. When you get face to face with God, he shows you your real issues. Mm-hmm. And when you come face to face with that, you can't do nothing but break that.
Amen.
Woo. Kenny, why do you do what you do? I cry because when I realize that God loved me past my pain, loved me past my issues, and allowed me to worship. Because the reason why I had tradition as a barrier, I had relationship as a barrier, I had church as a barrier, people as a barrier. I'm watching these older people, they ain't worshiping. And I said, well, they ain't doing it. I ain't going to do it. All these layers. But when it came to me and Jesus in my room, church wasn't there. The deacons wasn't there. Tradition wasn't there. All the stuff I had, I was laid out to the grave, and I'm crying because I'm remembering that I thought I was a man by every woman I trained, and I was cheating on it, and I thought a man was how many numbers you got and how much money you got. I didn't know what a real man was. So Jesus said, son, you know you're saved, but you got some issues I got to deal with because you're not the real man yet. You can't really worship me yet because you got to break down these layers. And sometimes we come to church with these layers, and then some of us try to hide the layers with our run and with our shout. But I promise you, your layers will find you. I'm not talking about the deacons that are going to, see, people ain't going to let you get rid of your layers. Mm-hmm. People ain't going to like your layers. They will judge you on your layers. They will come back and bring your layers up to you. How deep dare you think you are that? You better sit on down somewhere. You know who you used to be? I say, yeah, that's what I used to be. I'm so glad you said used to, because I'm no longer that way now. Because I'm at the well and the well. And when I met him, I was no longer the same. And I'm the woman and the man at the well telling you, come see the real man that they will deal with your issues because you're worshiping what you don't know. Then he said, you're worshiping what you don't know. So which means you can't worship truly. Then he goes on and he says, the hour in verse 23 is coming and now is. Martha, true worship is not just how many times you hold your hands up. He says, in spirit, right? So which means the spirit touches my spirit. But he said, D, I can't stop there. He said, it also is in what?
Truth.
Truth. Got it? He said, so if you don't have the correct truth, you can't worship.
That's right.
And some of us got the wrong truth about God. And you think you're worshiping because your mascara is running. Your mascara is running. Let me help you. If you don't have sound doctrine in your church, you're not truly worshiping. If people come up here and preach false doctrine, and you should have said, hallelujah, he says, no, it's in spirit and truth. We got a whole lot of spirit, but we ain't got truth. And people think you can just say anything, and that's called worship. The devil is a liar. I want to know what you're preaching. Because if it ain't lined up with scripture, it ain't worship. Because Jesus said, true worship in spirit and in truth. So let me help you. He's saying, Ron, as you grow in truth, you grow in your worship.
Amen.
Glory be to God. He says, come on, don't get captivated of people who got the spirit part down and not realize there's a truth that go with it. I listen to people, and I listen on the Facebook, and there's one preacher, she says, turn God on with your praise. Now, you have relegated God to a sexual encounter. So I had to text her. See how John 4:24 says, they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. So yeah, Ms. Cole, I like that verse. What do you mean that verse for? Because what you just said was not truth. Turn God on with my praise. Where's that scripture? Ain't there. But here, but look what he says. The hour is coming, Barbara. Now he is. Oh my God. He's saying, my brother, he's saying, when true worship is going to be is when I do a tag team. You see wrestling in a tag team. You know how you fight in the ring, die, and then you know how you get tired, you get beat up. You tag the other partner, right? So what Jesus is saying, sweetheart, I know you want truth, but guess what? The Spirit, the capital Holy Spirit, is not coming yet until I tag team him. Which means right now I'm the one on earth. And so right now the hour is coming where I'm going to tag team with the Spirit, and it's going to come out at Pentecost, and it's going to break out between everybody. But he says, now is. I'm glad about that. That I don't have to wait to the future if I may miss it. He said, you ain't got to wait that time, baby. You can get that right now. Let me hear somebody understand that sometimes he's saying you ain't got to wait any time to get intimacy. Baby, you can get it now. Right? Worship. You can get true worship right. He said the hour is coming and now is. Which means, man, guess what? You've been coming and thinking the well was your well worth. You think the Jews got it right. They don't. It ain't going to be in Jerusalem. He said the time is coming and now is. But let me help y'all, right? Do you know where now is? Which time frame are we in? Are we in now is coming or now is?
Now is.
How do y'all know?
Present.
Huh?
It's a present.
Huh?
Present.
How do y'all know now that we're in now is? Because he said the hour is coming. Mm-hmm. It could be still coming. How do you know you're in now is? Huh?
I'm present.
Church age, right? Well, what else that shows you that? No, God is a
spirit.
Okay, so we're talking about worship is a spirit touching the human spirit. So how do you know that you're now is, and the now is now? The church age, but what else is about the church age that validates that you're in the church age?
Indwelling
what?
The Holy Spirit.
Because you now got the Holy Spirit. Ma'am, you can't get it yet because it's not going to indwell you yet. But because the Father is seeking you, you ain't got to wait till then. You can get it. So my olive, God is saying, I'm okay with your praise, but I'm concerned about my intimacy with worship. When are you going to get to the place where you start panicking me only? When are we going to get to the place where you just fall out before God and just worship? Sometimes I just sit there and I think some people think I'm rocking to the song. I don't tune them out. I don't even hear music. This music that ushers me into the throne. So I gotta close my eyes, I gotta visualize the throne. And when I'm in the throne, I ain't care about what's going on around me. That's true intimacy. But here, the book gives us 8 avenues for worship. Let me give it to y'all before we have to go. I wish I could have some more time. See, there is a priority of worship he talks about and a preparation for worship, right?
Here's what he says, priority. If the Lord is to be Lord, worship must have a priority. Right? He says, the first commandment of Jesus is the Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Right? He says, today, God is calling his church back to worship. This can be seen in a high church circle with a renewed interest of intimacy with God. Right? Then he's going on to say this. Turn to Romans chapter 12. So there's a preparation of worship, but I want to get into the avenues of worship.
We're in Romans 12, chapter 1. I mean, 12, verse 1. He said, I beseech you therefore what? By the what? That you what?
Present your body.
Okay.
Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
All right. So now, how does Jesus show this woman that you can now experience worship? It says, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what?
Reasonable service,
right? But some translations say reasonable form of worship. Act of spiritual service or spirituality, right? So does this woman live out this verse?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. But what else shows us that she presented her body? Because she does. How's she doing?
She told us about having, not having.
Right, you know, that's part. But see, presenting your body is considered to be what?
A sacrifice.
A sacrifice, but it's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So how does her lifestyle show it in this verse? Right, okay, but she does something.
She goes back.
She tells others what?
About God.
Yes, come.
Come see a man.
So, mother, the way she related before is different.
Right.
She goes and says, oh, no, I ain't no relate no more to me, baby. Guess what? Come see a man. So worship ain't just, number one, out of your mouth. It's how you live your life. So this woman is living her life as an example that she's experienced God. Because she's changed. But my question is, to everybody I see evidence in the Bible, Sister Barbara, that meet Jesus, their life is always different. But I get in church, and I hear all these wonderful, God-blessing testimonies about all these people who get these encounters with God, and I hear their lifestyle is crazy. I'm trying to understand. How does not cussing everybody. I understand there's some shortcomings, but we're talking about lifestyle. No change. So don't get it twisted to think you can worship only and not live. So as Brother Rex said a couple of weeks ago about praise, what he really means is worship. The way I show my worship is how I serve. My lifestyle change is an act of worship. He says a living what?
Sacrifice.
When does the living sacrifice happen?
While you're living.
After the what? Notice he says, therefore. Uh-huh. The big question is, what the therefore is what?
Therefore.
Therefore, my brother, by the mercy of God, did you do what?
Present your body.
Here's what he's saying. God has already done chapter 1 to chapter 11. Mm-hmm. He said, in response to God and all that he did in your life, he begs you to do what? Present your body as a what? Living sacrifice. Now, I thought a sacrifice was dead. Oh, it is. Oh, it is. A sacrifice in the Bible is a dead animal. So how do we understand this verse? It's an oxymoron. A living sacrifice?
Because we're living.
We're living.
And the things that you were doing,
no
longer
do. Okay, okay.
You change that.
Okay.
To kill
somebody.
Okay.
To kill yourself. Okay. So it means if you take the Old Testament, right? Did the lamb have control?
No.
The lamb did, right? Who had control?
The
owner, right? What had? Took the lamb and did what? Slaughtered it, right? And did what?
Presented it to God.
Put it on the altar, right? So how does that live today? I'm glad you asked. The owner, right? Does the owner come cut you?
No.
Slaughter you?
No.
And put you on the altar?
No.
How'd that work?
You do it.
You have to lay.
Oh, he's slaughtered. Let me help you. Yes, he does. Let me help you. Yes, he does. If you haven't experienced the fullness of the slaughter, it's still coming. That night is coming. I promise you it's coming, and it's coming. If you belong to Jesus, I promise you he's cutting you out.
Yeah.
Like a fish, he's cutting you up. Pull you out that water. He filleted you for real. That's called
sanctification.
It's setting you apart. That means God is cleaning you up.
You up.
Whether you want you to go with it or not, he's pulling you. Right?
Yeah.
That's right. So it says, how do you get on the altar? God put you there? Paul says no. Paul says, take your butt right to the fire.
Yeah.
And not just. He says, jump on. You take control of you voluntarily doing it. God never forces you to sacrifice. That's why Isaac represents Jesus, that he volunteered his life. He could have said, Dad, no, I'm not doing it. But Jesus said, let this cup pass from me, Lord Father. No. Nevertheless, now what?
Now my will be done, but your will.
My question to you. Don't be just a praise person. And all you do is come and shout because we've been a couple times in praise. So now you'll come here and praise the Lord. He said, that's one form of it. He said, but what I'm trying to get you is into worship. Praise leads you into worship. But worship is birthed out of intimacy. And if you don't get intimate with God, and you don't get the Spirit, and you don't grow in truth, so he said, and one way to grow in truth, you got to be in Bible study. You got to be in class. You got to be in somewhere where you're getting some word. You can't do this from the pillow. You got to have an active lifestyle in this thing. You gotta be somewhere where you can say it. You gotta do this. We the end of that. You gotta get poured in. And you grow in truth, you grow in worship. This ain't about me. It's really about God saying, can it just he's seeking. The Father comes not only in Mount Olive, he on your job, he in the grocery store where you at. He's trying to pull you. My question is, are you going to resist? Are you going to be like the fish that when they get the bait, they get the hook, and they're trying to get off the line? And some of us are fighting God. And some of us are fighting God through the church. The church is dead. The church ain't growing. That's you. That may be true, but that ain't got nothing to do with you. You still got your own walk with God. They don't have to come. I'm coming. They got to be here. I'm here. They got to show up. I'll show up. They got to praise. I'll praise. They got to worship. I worship. You can't just say what they ain't doing. We got to take ownership and say, what am I not doing? God, where can I help? What can I do to be a part of what you're doing now? That's what I want to be about. I want to be about God. God, using my life so much that I am now firing you all. I'm not a thermometer. I'm a thermostat. Everywhere I go, I set the temperature. Because I know that's how God is working in my life. And I dare a dead church don't make me not praise. The devil is alive. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. See, Randy, when you're in church, the Bible says God inhabits the what? Praises of his people, right? Then he said, if that ain't, let's say no praise going on, right? The Bible also says when there are two or more gathered, in so what that mean? If it's two dead people, guess where God at? So as long as you and I are dead and we in a dead church, guess what? God's presence saying, yeah, that's dead, but what about you? You alive, are you ready? I can work with you.
That's right.
Right? But now, but my point is that when you know God is there, I want this verse to ring in your ear. The Father is seeking. He on your pew looking, where's my praise? Where's my faith? Where's my faith in it? Where's my worship? Where's my intimacy? Are you going to sit here? Are you sucking on limits? Are you going to sit here if I ain't been good to you? Are you going to sit here as if you ain't got nothing to thank me about? He said, come on, can I get it from you? Can I get it from you? Oh, I wish he called the worship leader to shut up. No, that ain't getting called the worship leader. That's God saying, yeah, I'm looking, I need it, I want it, I desire it. Where you at? Can I get a response? Woo! Can I get a response?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Yeah, and tomorrow, and look at a statement like this, and we're still sitting here as if God, this kid calling again. No, when you are getting your mind, God is trying to get you to respond. And you can't respond in here. How dare you respond here at the grocery store? How dare you respond here at the gas station? Who can't even bring it up? The devil is a liar. So I'm going to say it again. The Father is seeking, and who's going to respond? The Father is seeking. Is anybody on this side going to respond? The Father is seeking. Anybody in the middle going to respond? The Father is seeking. Anybody going to respond? Is there anybody here that loves the Lord? Is there anybody here that loves Jesus? Come on and put on the spot. If God has been good to you, get on your feet and give him praise. Come on, stop parenting in him and give him the glory and do his name. Hallelujah. You are worthy to be praised. We bless your name, God. We worship you, O God. You're awesome, God. You're mighty, God. You're wonderful, God. Come on, let's worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take one minute and go out somebody and worship right with them. Come on. Go right next to somebody and worship with them. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Celebrate here. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, God. Sometimes
these wise men said, he's already done it. He's already done it. We're going to worship you.
Yes.
Father is seeking. What's your response? Here am I, Jerry.